What's up? There you are. You thought you were going to hide. We're glad to see you this morning. Glad to get to teach what we're teaching about. Nathan kind of started us last week in talking about what Scripture teaches us about things like money and giving and some of those kind of things. We'll be talking about some of that today. He's talking about some of it here in a couple weeks. Before I even get too far, next weekend is Serve Sunday. If you're not familiar with what Serve Sunday is, Serve Sunday is one weekend that we take every 3 months. We take a Sunday and we go serve other people. We'll meet here at 9 a.m. There will not be a 10:45 service. We'll meet at 9 a.m. We'll do a short service, just kind of a time to refocus the mission that God has called us to be on, and then we will go and split up into groups. If you're unfamiliar with any of that, there's people in the foyer that can help you answer questions. There are projects listed on the wall out there that you can sign up on. One of the projects in particular, we're helping one of the families in our church. They did not ask for this. We went to them. Someone kind of came to me and said, hey, I'd like to help make something happen. Would we be able to do it? We've got a roofing project. Some of the projects like that will depend upon whether, you know, cooperating. And that one in particular is a Saturday and Sunday project. And you will see the lists out there of Saturday and Sunday of who can be there on which days. On Saturday, we will take a roof off. On Sunday, we will put a roof on. Just FYI, if you can be a part of that, you have a clue of what that looks like, or you're just not afraid to work, we would love for you to be a part of that. That's going to be a pretty cool opportunity. But we need you to sign up. We need your information so that if we move a project because of weather, not that we would know anything about the weather messing up any of our plans, right? But if we need to do that, that we're able to contact you, email you, call you, whatever it is. So make sure that you sign up today before you get out of here. Don't do this. Please don't do this. Don't not come to Serve Sunday. Don't cop out and be like, well, it's not a regular service. We're just going to stay at home. We're going to go to the lake or whatever. Come and be a part of the church. Don't just come and sit. Come and be a part of what we're doing next weekend. I promise you, you will be glad that you did. It's an amazing thing to get to be a part of the church and a part of what God is doing when we get to serve others, especially together. There's something special about it. And I know it's very tempting to go, well, I work all week long and all that. Yeah, whatever. You know, come be a part of this. Don't miss out on this. I promise you, you'll be glad that you did. Such a great opportunity. We have stuff the kids can be a part of. We have got stuff here for kids to do. If you want to have kids here and then you go work on a project, we've got the capability to do that too. We would love for you to do that. So come be a part of next weekend Serve Sunday. So I'll wait until some of the other here later on to as part of the message. We'll just do that. I'm going to switch it up a little bit this service. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. We're gonna study a passage of Scripture today that I think will challenge you. It's challenging me, and it's convicting and all those good things that it does. A lot of times. But if you don't have a Bible, our ushers have Bibles, and they will bring you one. Just throw your hand up and leave it up there so that they can see you. Let them get you a Bible if you don't own one. We're going to the book of Luke chapter 16. And if you don't own a Bible, you can take that one and keep it, and it's a gift, and we'd like for you to have it. We want you to have a Bible. Luke 16 is where we're going today. And, you know, the book of Luke, here we've got this particular example of Jesus telling a parable, and he's talking to his disciples and he's talking to the Pharisees. And we know the Pharisees, they're the religious folks that think they've got it already figured out. And then Jesus comes along, and so they're listening in on what Jesus has to say because they're interested, but they're not sure that they really are going to believe that or not. And so this is Jesus talking about some stuff with them, you know. And I think that this is interesting. I think I read something this week when I was reading about this passage. I didn't even say this in the first service. It's funny; certain things just kind of come back up in your mind. But I read something this week to think about as when Jesus is talking about money. Which, if you didn't know, Jesus talked about money a lot, a whole lot. And the reason he did is because he knew that it would be a struggle for us. He knew that we would want to worship it. He knew that we would make idols out of money and possessions and all these kinds of things. And when Jesus is talking about this, the interesting point that I read about this week was thinking about some of the people that were with him when he was talking about some of this stuff. You've got guys, you know, like Simon, who was a zealot, and you got guys like Matthew, who was a tax collector. And then he's sharing things like this. And one thing I was reading even had like a back and forth of like maybe this conversation that could have happened between these two guys as Jesus is teaching what he's teaching in this parable today, because he's calling some stuff out. And you know, it would be easy for these guys to be like, hey, he's talking about who you used to be, you know, and that kind of thing, you know, in this back and forth. We don't think about that a whole lot. And I think that that's worth noting and thinking about when Jesus is teaching this, who he's teaching it to. I think it's very interesting. But Luke 16, it says this. I want you to read this with me. Luke 16, verse 1. It says, he also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. And charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. Okay, we're going to stop there and call time out. So Jesus tells a story, and it's about a guy who, you know, he's the owner. He's got a business here, and he's got this guy. He's a rich guy, and he's got this guy that's his manager. You know, and I don't know if you've ever been a manager or not, but I mean, when you're a manager, you're basically getting to take care of somebody else's business, somebody else's things, somebody else's money in many ways. We kind of have an understanding of this, but there has to be a lot of trust between an owner and a manager in a business relationship like that. And in this particular situation, we've got this guy who was a manager for this rich man, and charges were brought to him. It says in verse 1 that this man was wasting his possessions. Now, he doesn't get specific with what exactly he's wasting his possessions with, but we know that he's wasting his possessions. And we know that if you're an owner and you've got somebody that's working for you and they're your manager and they're wasting your stuff, whether it's inventory or money or whatever it is, I mean, it's not good, right? We get that. We understand that. Wasting his possessions. And in verse 2, he goes to the guy and he says, he called him and said, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you no longer can be manager. And so he fires the guy. He's like, you're done. All right. So we've got this account, this story that Jesus shares about a manager and an owner, and the manager's not doing the right thing. He has to fire the manager. Typical business stuff, right? I want us to think about something today as we're reading this. In Scripture, We learn something about possessions. We learn something about money. And I don't know if you've learned this before or not, and I'm thankful that my parents taught me as I was growing up these things. I'm so thankful for the things that they taught me. And one of the things that they taught me to know was that the things that I have are not really my things. Now, we like to think about our stuff as our stuff, right? You know, and we think about the investments that we make into things or whatever. And actually, we're actually talking about investment in a couple of weeks. Going to be a really cool week. I'm really excited about it. I actually had it in this message, and at about 2:30 this morning, I cut this message in half and said, that's another week. We got to do that a different week. For us to kind of have this understanding that the things that we've got are really God's. God created everything. It's all His. If He's letting us use any of it, I mean, it's just by His grace that we have anything that we have. Money, possessions, houses, cars, whatever. I mean, time, relationships, any of it, it's all His. And we, you and I, we're managers. We hear that terminology called stewardship. You know, the term steward, you know, is somebody who is over either possessions or even people. You go, okay. You think about it like this, a steward, a stewardess, you know, a steward. We stewards are people that are over people, especially on things like planes and boats and things like that. That's what they're called. And that's because they're managing those people for that time period in that situation. We are stewards. We are stewards. We can be, and you go, well, I'm not a steward. Yeah, you are a steward. You might not be a good one. You might be a great one. I don't know. But we're stewards. We're either good or bad with that. And that's each individual just depends. And so, you know, for us to understand that what we have is not really ours and that we're actually managers, that we're stewards of these things, is such a key element of us understanding parts of our lives. It makes us look at things different. Because let's be honest. Let's be honest. The truth is that we spend a lot of our time thinking about attaining things or making money or whatever it is. And the truth is that we all fall into this. And the truth is we know, you know, I'm not stupid here. We know that we need to make money to be able to provide for our families, take care of things. God, especially with men, God put something in men that you would do everything that you can to try to provide for your families. It's one of those amazing things that is not all, often a good thing. But when I see a man who's lost their job or something like that, I mean, that's a deeper struggle than just not being able to pay the bills. That's something much more than that, because God has created that in us that we need to be able to do that for our families. And so, you know, the problem is that sometimes we take that want and that desire and we make it the main thing of our lives. And obviously, there's nothing wrong with providing for our families. There's nothing wrong with enjoying things in this life. But God has called us to have an understanding about it, and that's this. It's all His. We are managers. So as Jesus is teaching this parable, He's wanting us to see some things that are very important to Him that we would understand about our lives. All right? He Himself has the power to do whatever He wants to with His possessions. And I think a lot of times we fail to see that. We fail to, you know, well, I earned that and that's my thing. And, you know, God doesn't get to have a say-so. God does get to have a say-so. And sometimes He has a say-so whether we want Him to or not. Sometimes we have to learn, you know, what life is like without something. The truth is this, folks, we're rich. Now, you may not think that you're rich, but I'm going to tell you, if you have a roof over your head, you are richer than the vast majority of the population that lives on this planet in 2015. You may not realize that, but that's true. And you know, I know, you know, you go, well, I'm not rich. I don't have, you know, this, or we're knee-deep in debt and all these other things. I get that, okay? But you know what? I'm pretty sure God's not really concerned whether or not we're driving brand new cars today. I'm pretty sure He could care less, okay? You know, sometimes when I look at the junk that I have, you know, I'm thinking, man, God could really care less, but He's being gracious to allow me to enjoy some of these things in the meantime. And I'm thankful for that. But we've got to see that it's His, and we're called to manage it. So what do we do with that? Well, I want us to keep reading in this passage, because I want you to see what this guy does. Because he fires the manager, right? He fires the guy. So he's out. But before he either gets off the job, or I don't think he goes behind we know he doesn't go behind the master's back, the owner's back, because he finds out what he's done. And it says in verse 3, we'll see what he does before he technically gets off the job. Verse 3, it says this. It says, and the manager said to himself, what shall I do? He's frustrated. He lost his job, right? You ever been there? Yeah. What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do. He comes up with a plan. So that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. Okay? So what's he going to do that's going to get people to receive him into their houses? Verse 5, it says, so summoning his master's debtors, people that owed his master money. He goes to them. He summons them, it says. One by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Okay, so this guy owed 100 measures of oil, and this guy says, "Tell you what, pay 50, the debt's paid." Okay? Verse 7. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So he cuts his from 100 to 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Now this gets confusing. Don't be confused by it. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness and said, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." Now let me kind of go back. Why in the world was the master praising this guy who he's firing all of a sudden? Why is he praising him? Well, he's praising him because he doesn't realize what he's really doing. I mean, he's basically this manager who's getting fired has gone behind his back in some way, shape, or form. And what he's done is, yes, he's told these folks that owed his master money, "You know, I'll tell you what, you owe 100, pay 50. You owe 100, pay 80. And the master was just glad that he was trying to go and get some of the money, and he had some income coming in. This is, by the way, this was a lot of income, if you don't know. From my understanding, in both of these situations, you're probably looking at about 20 months of income that he's, you know, trying to collect on here. And so the master, I mean, he's just excited. He's going and getting some of this money coming in, you know. But what he doesn't realize is that what he's done is that he has offered to them for them to pay less than what is actually owed, so that he's getting chummy with them. You know, he's becoming buddies. Like, "Hey, what's up, man? You know, hey, you know, remember me? I'm the guy that, like, you know, I cut your oil thing in half. I cut your wheat thing down by 20. Remember that?" What he's doing is he's setting himself up so that after he's fired, after he loses his job, there's a chance that maybe one of these people will hire him or maybe let him live there. So, think of like somebody, you know, owed you 20 months of wages, you know, and if they owed you 20 months of wages and this person comes to you and says, you know, "Are you owed 20 months of wages?" And this person comes to you and says, "Tell you what, you can pay half that and the debt's gone." Well, you're going to love that person. You're going to be like grateful. You're going to be like, "Man, that's awesome. Thank you so much." So when they show back up and be like, "Hey, what's going on? I don't have a job. Don't really have a place to stay. You got a, you know, bale of hay I can crash on or something, you know," then yeah, totally. Come on in. Check it out. You know, we're glad to have you. "Man, you saved me. You saved me like all this money. How could I not let you come in and eat with my family or whatever it is?" He's dishonest. And we see that throughout this story over and over. Jesus keeps bringing up that he's dishonest. In fact, if you look at, just to even clarify so you don't get confused, Jesus says the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. He commended the dishonest manager. Jesus is very clear. He's using adjectives for us to be able to see and help us to see something that we don't want to fall into. We don't want to be dishonest managers. Think about that for a minute. We don't want to be dishonest managers with God's things. Well, what's God's things? We covered that a minute ago, if you remember. Everything. Everything is His. We're managers of it. We'll breathe for this period of time, and we'll live this life for this period of time that we get to live life. And in that time period, God allows us to be managers of some of His stuff. Will we be faithful with it, or will we be dishonest? Is the question. His dishonesty is a theme that we see throughout this, and specifically that he's wasting possessions. But then even on top of that, what he's doing is he's going to the people that owes his master money and, you know, works out deals with them just so that he can try to get in good with them on the backside of losing his job. Verse 9 says this. It says, this is Jesus speaking again, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." You couple this with the end of verse 8, where it says, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." You have this picture of Jesus painting something for us, and it is that we would be better off in this life to take the things that are his, these possessions already. We'll leave that up there, verse 8. "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." It's talking about that we would be good investors. And again, I'm going to talk about that in a couple weeks. But to go along with that, in verse 9, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." Jesus is saying, you know, share your stuff. Share your stuff. There's people that need it. I gave it to you to do something with it. Glorify me with it. That's what this life is about. That's why we were created. We were created for the glory of God. That is the purpose of our life. So for us to look at our stuff and think anything different other than the fact that it belongs to God and that we're supposed to use it for his glory is really silly when we think about it. But the truth is, we both know, we get wrapped up in that. We get wrapped up in the stuff. Like, I'll just be honest with you. Like, I've been thinking for some time now, like, if I could just sell, you know, this and this and kind of get past this or do that, you know, then I could buy a transmission for this car that's sitting in my garage that I want to drive. And I admit I tore it up last year. It's my fault, okay? I won't be, you know, I'll admit to it. But the truth is, God could care less whether or not I buy that transmission. It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy things. But it means we look at them differently. Doesn't mean we can't buy things. But we look at our purchases differently. Are we doing what God would want us to do with his things? Are we being good managers, or are we being dishonest? And I know, just so you know, I'm not interested in guilting anybody here today. This is like the perfect time for me to, like, you know, guilt you real good and be like, "Now give the church your money," right? Well, that's not why I came, okay? Came to teach the gospel. And the gospel is this: Jesus is better. Jesus is better. We just sing it. He says, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth," by means of, you know, things that matter for the kingdom, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Jesus gets real here in verse 10. Check this out. Verse 10, he says this. He says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." Think about that for just a minute. This is a biblical principle that we see Jesus teach over and over again, especially through parables, that you expect me to give you more when you're not good with what I gave you right now, kind of idea, But that's what we want, right? We well, God, I can't be faithful with what you've given me right now because I don't have enough. If you give me some more, then I'll be faithful. That's not what God's called us to. I'm so grateful that my parents, when I was growing up, taught me to understand these principles of just basic principles of all this belongs to God. And God has called me to bring a portion of it back to him. That's an offering. You know, and I'll often use the terminology on purpose, bringing an offering back instead of giving an offering. Now, Scripture teaches both, just so you know. But I like the terminology of thinking about bringing an offering because I can't really give it back to God. It's already his, you know. Now, I might be able to give it to somebody else as the manager. But as the manager, God's also called us to bring back a piece of it to him. And that's this offering. And you know, the funny thing is, God doesn't need our money. So why would he do that? Well, sure, money that we bring, especially give to the church, goes to fund ministry. And many of you are very faithful in doing that. Let me say thank you to trusting in this church for being a part of that. If you don't have a church home, you need to find a church home. This is a part of your life that you need to be involved with. You need to be bringing an offering, giving an offering. And you can look at this different ways. You know, in Scripture, we see throughout the Old Testament, Nathan touched on this last week, the idea of giving a tithe or bringing a tithe, which is 10%. And I've had all kinds of conversations with people, you know, about that. You know, well, are we supposed to give a tithe? Is that the thing that we're supposed to do? We don't see that talked about in the New Testament. I think a tithe is a good place to start, and you go, gosh, I can't even think about giving a tenth. Let me just tell you what. I can only speak from myself and my family, and we haven't been faithful 100% of our lives, but for the most part, we've been faithful at giving. There have been moments in our lives where we've been faithful and God has taken care of us. And I think that that's what we've got to remember is that when we say no to that, we're questioning what God might want to do. We're questioning that it all doesn't belong to him anyway. We don't really believe that. And we know better what to do with it than he would know what to do with it. Years ago, and I've shared this before, it's a God thing, so may he get the glory from me telling you this story, and there's no other reason for me to tell it because I'm a goofball idiot most of the time. But years ago, we first started the church. We're living at the old house down off 41A, and I can't remember if we had Gracie at the time or whatever, but there was a month, there was something that happened. Maybe I was a bum and spent our money on something stupid, which is very likely. Or something had happened with some money where we had to pay for something on the house that broke or something. And we didn't have enough money to pay the bills. And Aaron calls me and says, we need to sit down. We need to talk about the bills. This is not good. Like, we're shy a lot of money, almost $1,000. And I was like, good grief, you know. So we sat down and we look at it. And she says, what do you want to do? And we look at these bills and we got the, you know, it's all the typical, the mortgage and the electric and all this stuff. And we get into it, and we're shy a lot of money, you know, again, almost a grand. And she says, what do you want to do? And I said, well, let's just be faithful. I mean, all we can do is pray. We can just trust God that he will provide and just go on. And nobody knew what was really going on with us or whatever. And so we prayed, and one of the things that we've always done is that we've always given our offering, and I think we see this throughout Scripture, as this idea of first fruits, that we would give, bring an offering back to God first, before everything else. And I'm the guy that I'm like off the top. I mean, yeah, the government's going to get theirs, whatever, but I want Jesus to get his before the government gets theirs, even kind of thing. And so, you know, that's where God's led us to be in one of those things. And so, you know, we wrote that check, and, you know, we're done with it, and gave it. Write the bills that we could, and then the rest we left laying on the table or on the counter or whatever. And so a couple days later, Aaron calls me, and she says, we got a piece of mail today that's pretty interesting. I said, what's that? And she said, we got a envelope, and it's from this termite company out of Memphis. And we had lived in the Memphis area before starting 24, before moving back here to start 24. and where I was a student pastor. And you know, we had to use a termite company there, but it was not this company. And this company didn't have anything to do with that company. She called, checked on it, you know, whatever. I mean, no idea. I said, what did they send us? She said, they sent us a check. I said, a check? She said, yeah, I'm expecting like a, you know, like sometimes you get this random like $5 check that you're like, you know, oh, well, thanks for the $5. Don't know where that came from, but yeah, sure, I'll eat a hamburger or whatever, you know. And so she said, well, yeah, we got a check. I was like, well, how much is the check for? And she said, it's for, it was down to the dollar. I mean, it was like, well, 901 or 902 or something like that, dollars. Okay, not cents, dollars, you know. And I'm like, what in the world? And she said, Chris, this is the exact amount that we're missing to pay our bills. And I said, that's amazing. And she said, what do you want me to do with it? I said, run to the bank and cash it before they change their mind. I said, what else do we do with the check? We don't know why we got it. We just go cash it. And we did. You know, we still don't know. You know, why in the world did that happen? You know, sometimes I think God, you know, it's kind of like Abraham taking his son up on the mountain. It's not because God wanted to kill Isaac. You know, it's because God wants us to trust him. He wants us to get to live through those moments where we come out knowing he's got this. And we don't, you know, because our temptation is to take control of the thing and go, I got this, I'm in control, and we're good, you know. And all the money and everything will make us feel comfortable and all this if we had it. The truth is you never get there, you know. It doesn't satisfy. And I know some people that are very blessed financially, and they're very faithful. I know some people that are very blessed financially and that they're very faithful. And if you asked them today, you said, well, did you start being faithful when you had a lot of money? They would say, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Every one of those people that I personally know have told me stories of like, yeah, we didn't have two nickels to scratch together. We were feeding kids popcorn. We've done some of that, you know, been there. You know, some of you just feed kids popcorn because you just lazy, right? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we're there. We understand. And so, you know, for us, I think it becomes an issue of how do we look at these things? Are we recognizing that we really are managers, or do we think that we're owners? You know, we like the thought of being owners. I mean, I love the thought of being an owner, you know? I look forward to owning my house one day. Look forward to not making that payment. You know, that'll be, man, whew. We'll get to build some muscle cars then. Probably not with five girls. But you know, it's one of those things that I think for so many people, we've heard it taught in so many different ways other than biblical ways. And including, you know, here's a classic, and I'm gonna share it because I want you to beware of it, because it's not from Scripture. And that's guys on TV that are, you know, they may look good, sound good, got a good bill of sale to sell you, and it usually comes out something like this: if you will give God your money, he will make you rich. Well, that's not biblical. I mean, yeah, he makes us rich in Jesus, but he's not going to necessarily make you a millionaire if you're faithful with your money. That's not what the Bible says. We see throughout Scripture, on and off, all throughout the entire book of the Bible, that suffering is a part of our life. And the truth is, again, most everyone in here is already rich financially. And if you know Christ, then you're rich spiritually. I'll read this passage to you, verses 10 and 11 again, just because I think they're worth rereading. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? I think one of the things Jesus is saying here is he's saying, you know, faithful people are faithful all the time. Dishonest people are dishonest all the time. And I don't know about you, but I find myself in this internal struggle. I'm just being honest with you here, that sometimes I find myself being greedy. You think, well, you know, how so? I pay my bills and I'll pay people that help me or, you know, whatever, and try to do right by all those things. And then it'll be some little thing. I don't know if you guys find yourself here, but I'll be at a restaurant and I'm signing the check and I'm about to put down how much tip I'm going to give. And I'm back and forth about whether or not to give this extra dollar, you know, that would really make them feel like you did a really good job, you know, kind of thing. Go, well, did they really? Over a dollar, you know, this is what I do. I don't know if you do this or not. You're probably perfect and you don't do this. But I do this, and I find myself going, do I really, you know, and here's what I land that plane with going, saying in my heart and in my head, like God speaks to me in those moments, I feel like all the time, and he's going, Chris, are you an idiot? Do you think that they want to be a waiter or a waitress? Do you not think that they don't need this money? That you couldn't spare another dollar for them to help them take care of their family? It's in the little things and the big things that God is calling us to be faithful managers of his stuff. It goes on in verse 13, and he says this, and this was also in last week's message, which I knew I was going to teach this passage, but I honestly I didn't know, I forgot this was a part of it, which is pretty cool because it's kind of a 2 week in a row deal for you. It says verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Cannot serve God and money. And we know this. We know it to be true. But yet, you know, for whatever reason in life, we struggle with it. You know, it's that shiny thing. You know, if I could just get that shiny thing, you know, I'll do anything to get that shiny thing, right? God just wants us to be faithful. And the truth is that we just got to remember it's all his. And he's got this. And in those moments when we don't know how in the world are we going to do this, and you question, you know, whether or not to be faithful in what God has led you to do. And by the way, this goes for our time. This goes for the things that God has blessed us with in talents, our treasure, our influence. Think about all those things. Think about the time piece. Think about what is God calling you to do with your time. If your time is really his time, if he's given you time, if he's given you treasures, if he's given you possessions, if he's given you a home or whatever it is, how are you to use those things for his glory? Because that's what it's for. It's for his glory. So how do we use those things for his glory? I mean, it changes how we look at everything, right? You're like, Chris, why couldn't we just keep talking about the money? Now we're like talking about stuff that's going to take time, you know? I know I'm supposed to talk to my neighbor, but she won't shut up. If I start that conversation, days of my lives are going to be, life is going to be gone, you know? But God is calling us and leading us to do things. And if we're not careful, and here's the problem with a thing like a tithe. If we start looking at everything with a tithe and going, well, I'm going to give God my 10%. I'm going to take 10% off the top of my paycheck, and that's going to God. I'm going to do right because that seems like the right thing to do, blah, blah, blah. You know, if we're going to do that, the problem with that is this, is that Jesus, and Nathan mentioned this last week, Jesus is constantly, he's hammering generosity. He's not hammering a tithe. He's going, be led by the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And so when something comes up, and let me just say, I got to see this week in an awesome way. And I shared it on social media. You know, last week at the end of the messages, at the end of the services, during the end there, where Penny just kind of runs off the mouth for a while, you know, we love him. I shared an opportunity for us to give. And the opportunity was this. It was that one of the guys in our church, who really is in a really bad spot financially, is going back to school because he got hurt and he can't do the job that he used to do, which is a pretty tough thing for a man, middle-aged man, to have to do anyway. He goes back to school. He's in college, okay, taking classes for the first time in probably who knows how long. And there's a woman in his class who's a single mom, and she didn't own a computer. And he saw her in a moment outside of that realm broken over this. Like, the teacher's looking at her going, you can't do this if you don't have a computer. You got to do half this stuff online, you know. And so he calls me. He doesn't know what else to do. And he says, I think I'm supposed to help this girl somehow, but I don't know what to do for her. So I shared this opportunity last week and just said, hey, we'll throw it out in front of the church. We'll see. God might lead somebody to help somehow. So I said, then the service said, here's the situation. She probably didn't even live near here, but here's an opportunity for us to be Jesus into her life and do something. Maybe there's somebody here that has a printer, she needs a printer. Maybe there's somebody here that, you know, has an extra computer they don't use. You know, maybe you could donate those things. That would be awesome. And so by the end of the first service last week, we had somebody donate a brand new printer in the box that they had and just said, here you go. She can have this. By the time I got done with lunch last week, last Sunday afternoon, I had somebody message me. Somebody that I wish, if I've ever been in a situation where I could wish so badly that I could tell you their situation so that you could understand how deeply this had to be God moving this person to do this. Because if there ever was anybody that had a reason or reasons in their life, whatever, to just go, I can't do that, I can't be a part of this, I can't help right now, this person has those legitimate excuses. And God spoke to this person's heart, and they messaged me and said, I am going to Best Buy, and I'm going to buy her a brand new laptop. I will bring it to your house this afternoon. And she did. That's not 10%, okay? That's being led by the Lord to do with his stuff things that are out of the ordinary. And that's the life that we've been called to live. And honestly, if we're real honest with ourselves, we love our stuff too much. And I'm convicted. I'm preaching to myself today here, okay? If it lands on you and God convicts your heart, that's between you and him. Because right now it's just me and him working through stuff, all right? Jesus says to give with a generous heart. And what happens when we do this, just like the guy from our church got to do this week when he got to go to class on Wednesday and take this lady these two boxes with this brand new stuff in them, he was able to look at her and say, hey, I know you're in a spot. I know you didn't ask for help. But I go to church with a bunch of people who love Jesus. And he loves you. And we want you to know that we're here for you if you need us. What happens in those kinds of moments, and no, we don't get to do those kinds of things every day, you know, is we get to mimic being Jesus in their lives. And that's what this world needs. This world needs people that mimic being Jesus. It doesn't need dishonest managers. The truth is in our hearts is where the honesty and the faithfulness has to start and come from. We can make it for a little while faking it, you know. Like, I'm just going to go about trying to put on the show or whatever it is about being honest or doing the right things or, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, if it's not right in our heart, then it won't last. Won't last. So the question is do we really trust God? Do we really trust Him? Do we really trust Him to lead us to do with His things what He wants to? It might be crazy. Might be buying a laptop for somebody you don't even know. You make all kinds of arguments in your head why not to buy that laptop, can't you? I can. Well, I don't know. And this. What's money when we're dead? What is the stuff when we're gone? It's nothing. It's nothing. And if we hoard it up and we never share it or we never give it away or we never, whatever it is, you know, then we miss the point. God calls us to do crazy things sometimes. I've been reminded of that as we approach even thinking about trying to build what we're talking about building. Seems crazy. Seemed crazy when we were called to plant a church. Seemed crazy when we were called to buy this building. You know? But sometimes God just shows up. And He's so there that you can't deny it. You know? And the truth is that for every person in this room, there are things in your life where maybe God is showing up in your life and trying to show you, hey, don't miss this. Hey, invest time in this person's life. Hey, give this away. You want to test? You want to see where your heart is? I'll ask you a couple questions. You ready? You're going to hate these. Here we go. I hate these questions. And I made them up. It's my fault. To test where your heart is or not, questions you can ask, things like, can you lose money and not lose your mind? Can you lose money and not lose your mind? Maybe somebody took advantage of you. Did you lose your mind over it? You still hold something against that person? You lose money and not lose your mind. Just questions here, okay? Is your everything wrapped up in something that moth or rust can destroy? I'm not going to answer that for you, okay? Do you give any of your stuff or money away? Do you give any of your stuff or money away? To piggyback that question, do you do so to make yourself feel better, or do you do so out of your joy in serving Jesus and others? You're like, why couldn't you just ask if I give any of my stuff away? Why can't we just leave it at that, right? Right? No. This is a hard issue because we're great at acting out. We're great at masquerading, you know, right? You know, I'll do that. I'll show up on Serve Sunday. Oh, wish I wouldn't have to do Serve Sunday today. Oh, gosh, you know. Do these things corrupt you in any way? Can you walk away from all of it if it meant choosing between it and God? What's more important? And it's, you know, I know we're in church and it's like, man, that's, you know, that's easy question of God. Yeah, I walk away from it. Yeah, really? Okay. I mean, it's just questions, okay? It's just questions. And I want you to know this. I didn't come here to make you feel guilty, okay? I really didn't, I promise. Not my intention. I came here to get you to ask this question. And the question is, what is my life about? What is my life about? wealth never satisfies us. It never satisfies us. We'll never have enough of it. We'll always say, I can't do that because I don't have enough. If I had more, I could. Yeah. You know where that's going. Wealth does not provide for eternal needs. And we'll talk about some of that stuff with the investment stuff in a couple weeks, which I'm really excited about. And something to remember is that God doesn't need it. God doesn't need it. The only reason that he asks us to bring any of it back is so that we're checking our hearts here with it. That we're not falling in love with it, right? That's the only reason. And sure, yeah, he'll use it for ministry and his glory, whatever. But I mean, the truth is, God do whatever he wants to, you know. We could find out that the front yard is a gold mine or something. Which would be awesome, by the way, because I love the show Gold Rush, and I'd love to have a sluice box out there. That would be pretty cool, you know, making gold. He doesn't need it. So you're sitting here today, and maybe you're one of these folks, you're going, you know, it's a funny day. I come to church, I always hear that at church they talk about money all the time. Well, you came on a Sunday when we're talking about it. Jesus did talk about it all the time. We actually don't talk about it a whole lot here at 24, but it's important for us to talk about it. We're going to keep talking about it for a few more weeks because we want folks to have a good understanding of what Jesus wants, where he wants our hearts to be, and how we can act on those things is very important to our calling. Because the truth is if we love the things of this world, including money, too much, we will miss out on things of his kingdom. We don't want to do that. I know you don't want to do that. I know you don't want to be a dishonest manager, and I don't want to be a dishonest manager. And you might be sitting here, and you might be going, well, I don't even know if I know Jesus. I'm not even a Christian. I just came, and sure enough, you proved me right, talking about money, whatever. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you the most important thing that I could tell you if you're in that boat today, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not a Christian, you're just church shopping or whatever it is, I don't care. The most important thing that I want you to understand is that God loves you. And that he sent his son to die for you. And he, being Jesus, his son, he is the only thing that satisfies. He's the only thing that satisfies. All the shiny things in this world that we love and all the money that we could hope to make will not satisfy. Jesus is the only one who satisfies. And in John 4:14, he talks about it and he says this. It says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus satisfies. Nothing else. So with that in mind, I ask you two questions. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you don't know Jesus. I want you to know something. No matter how bad you've been in this life, what God has done through sending Jesus, his son, to die on a cross for us is the only thing that is enough to cover those things. We need Jesus. We need a Savior. And it's only through him that we can get to God. It's not being good enough. I could, if I stood up here and told you, if you gave enough, I would be teaching you a false gospel. We can't give enough away to be good enough to earn salvation. It only comes through Christ. It only comes through the cross. It only comes from an empty tomb where he rose 3 days later to prove that he would defeat death on our behalf. That's eternal. This stuff not eternal. So with that in mind, do you know Christ as your Savior? If not, maybe today is the day. After the service, some of us will be down here. We'd love to talk with you about that. We'd love to talk with you about what that means. Pray with you. No pressure, no guilt. We don't do that. If God's speaking to your heart, I'm encouraging you strongly to listen to that, okay? Don't miss out on that. For those of us that know Christ, I ask you this. What might God lead you to do in this life as one of His managers? What will you do? What will you do with the time? What will you do with your house? What will you do with your possessions? What will you do with your money? Will it be for the kingdom? Or will it all be for you? That's only something you can answer. I pray that God would speak to your heart clearly about some of those things. And I pray for you to be faithful. Let's pray together.